Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your girl Flo, and I'm sitting here chilling on this Father's Day 2020, and I ain't gonna say on the rights of this song. The jury's still out on that, but this Father's Day, I want to focus on this being a Juneteenth Father's Day. And this episode is going to be dedicated to all my brothers and black fathers out there who just need a little bit of love, a little bit of hope. I just want you all to know that we see you, that we love you, you are appreciated. And before I get into it, I'm going to burn a little bit of sage. I got my candle lit. It's been a while since I've recorded. There's been a ton of stuff going on. My last post that I did, entitled I Can't Breathe, that really took a big toll on the kids, you know, those turn of events. And I had to really kind of decompress my day to day and focus on them and their needs and their emotions and their thoughts about their dad and his situation, you know, because it all kind of collectively came crashing down when they found that they could relate some of what they were witnessing with the experience they witnessed their dad go through as it relates to his encounter with law enforcement. Because when he was arrested, as many of you know, we were all at home asleep in our beds and our door wasn't kicked in because he alerted me to go to the door as soon as he realized that it was the feds. And in order to avoid that kick door experience, he asked me to hurry down and answer the door. And that's when everything kind of turned upside down. And it was very emotional because my kids were abruptly awakened out of their sleep, as we all were. Of course, Kirk and I understood, you know, what was happening. We just didn't understand why, which we didn't learn why until after he had, you know, been detained and then released to come home on bond. But in that scary window of time from when they knocked on the door and had us all to come outside, you know, my daughter is a processor. In her mind, she doesn't speak until she actually tries to process what she's seeing is actually going on. And so after he was carried away, you know, put in the backseat of the car and driven away, my baby asked me, "Is daddy dead?" Okay, so her thought process that if it's something this serious, the way that they're carrying on, that means somebody's dead. And that was my daddy that they just carried out of here. So when George Floyd came about, I didn't know what was actually going on. I saw kind of like a glimpse or a piece of a video of George Floyd, like a caption, but I didn't read it. I didn't look at it. And this was like probably the day of or the day after that it had happened. And I didn't read it because, you know, we had been saturated with so many of those like videos, right? And so a couple of days after, my daughter is in her room. And she was like, "Mommy, I want, you know, there's a video of a man that the police killed." And I asked her, "You know, what are you talking about?" And she said, "The police killed a man on TV or on in broad daylight, and he didn't even do nothing." And she just started crying. And she explained, you know, that it was George Floyd. And, you know, she remembered looking in his face and saying, "You can just tell he was a nice person," and she didn't understand. And so then I went and I looked it up and I'm like, now I'm paying attention to what's going on. So, you know, then it really blew up. And as you can see where we are now today, how the world has reacted. So when you have preteens, as much as you want to try to shelter and hide things, number one, they're very observant. Number two, to some degree, it's a disservice in this time of our lives that you don't tell them the truth, especially as being Black children in America, you know, male or female. And so, you know, it was really time for me to kind of take a small hiatus from podcasting and whatnot, just so that I could keep an eye on them. And like I said, they correlated all of these events with their dad. And I'm specific about doing this podcast today on Father's Day because I have had a front row seat to his parenting and their pain of him not being here is so significant and so relevant to them because of his parenting, right? So I am actually dedicating this podcast to my husband, Juan Kirk Sperling, and I want you to know that I am proud of you. The way you've handled this situation is honorable. You could have, you know, made this situation worse for other people involved. You chose to be a man and take your medicine for whatever it is you needed to handle on your end without sacrificing or without being a pawn in their game, right? And I'm not saying at all that you deserve prison. Not at all. But the odds were against you. You were a Black man. You were a man that did not have enough money to fight this type of a legal battle. You were a person who they felt was a target anyway, just based on the people that you knew. Not that you were, you knew, you know now, or you even were affiliated with at the time. You just happened to have known them, okay? And they used that against you. And if not for that reason alone, then we should all be in prison, okay? So when they offered you those opportunities to, you know, better your situation by answering to things that you didn't even have anything to do with, or by giving information about stuff that they had information on, they just needed it to be validated, you know. And so they would have rather you had gone so far as to lie and confirm what they claimed they knew by saying that you had knowledge of it and could confirm it. And, you know, you were a man about your shit, even as far as them threatening to pull your family into this. You were a man about that. And even though that's expected, that's the expectation, especially from the environment where we come from and what we know and how we were raised, you still had choices and you stood up as a man and you did what you felt was the right thing to do at the time. Now, we have been in pain, just like you have been in pain, because we've never been apart from each other. And this has been tough. This has been a true test to our union as a true test to our union as a married couple and as parents. But one thing I can say is no matter what, no matter how things seem or what things look like or what you've gone through or what you're going through now, none of that can erase, absolutely none of that can erase the investment that you've made in our partnership as parents and the investment that you've made in our partnership as in terms of our relationship. You know, you have truly shown me what it means to just do what needs to be done because it needs to be done. It doesn't matter who's responsible. I have watched my husband literally get up in the morning, spend an entire day either going to work all day long. I would probably be at work or at school. And then he would come straight home and whatever needed to be done around that house, be it cook, clean, laundry, kids, homework. He didn't lay down until those things were done and the whole household was satisfied and we could all rest. That's just his work ethic. Even when he hustled, he had a time frame when he would leave the house to go get on that block and still, before he left, dinner was cooked. Not because I cooked it, he did it. Dinner was cooked. If laundry needed to have been done, if he would have taken it to the laundromat, he'd done our laundry. He would have had things cleaned. And all I had to do was what I was focused on doing, which was being done at no pressure from him. It was done because these are things that I wanted for myself. All I had to worry about doing was going to school and going to work. So I have witnessed and been in the front row and watched you tirelessly, without complaining, step up and do these things to keep our system working no matter what. And I don't earn the rights to this song back here. This is Lil Baby, The Bigger Picture. But the song before that was Kirk's infamous Dirty Work. Anybody that knows Kirk knows that that is probably the song that he's most famous for at home and anywhere else that has heard that song than anything else. And so I'm focused on you, Kirk, because you are the black man that I see in a lot of black men that I've grown up with, that I've known, that helped to raise me. I see all of them in you. And so that's why I'm dedicating this not only to you, but to all the brothers and black fathers out here who just need a little love and a little hope. And so this weekend we celebrated Juneteenth. And we all understand, or some of us know, you know exactly what that's about. And if you don't, you know, we can definitely run over that. So it's basically the Emancipation Proclamation was declared official in 1863, January 1st, 1863. However, there were Union soldiers that entered into Galveston, Texas, and communicated to the people who were still in slavery June 19th of 1865, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation to have freed slaves, that was communicated to them then that they were actually free. They had no idea for 2.5 years. So we're celebrating that as our actual freedom. And our culture has truly been impacted by all of this history that precedes our present day. And because of that, you know, we've experienced a lot of trauma, especially our black men, you know, trauma that can't even be explained sometimes, can't even be appreciated, can't even be ignored. You know, it has not been an easy road. And because of that, we have to, as a village continue to hold each other up. But this is Father's Day. So we are going to focus on our brothers. And some of what I may say may not be appealing to some of you mothers, and that's okay. I understand. This isn't about me being right or wrong. This isn't about me choosing sides. It's just using today to solidify our men in our lives and to take notice of the sacrifices that they have made. You know, and some of us don't have that. Some of us have not had an opportunity to have men in our life that speak to our overall healing. Some of us are still broken from our fathers being absent. Some of us are still dealing with, you know, abuse that we've experienced at the hands of our loved one, of our father or our mother or our brother or our spouse or however. But one thing is clear. We are still all that we have. And we're going to have to accept some of the bumps and bruises, but along the way, continue to teach, continue to encourage, to continue to hold each other up. To me, a father is somebody who is always present. That person is present. That person is involved. That person offers stability. That person offers light. That person offers leadership and shows you what it looks like. That person doesn't just tell you, they show you. That person accepts you for who you are, doesn't try to, you know, reinvent the wheel, accepts the fact that the mold was broken when you were created, okay? That's a father to me. And that also encompasses being a dad when you are emotionally attached. Because so the father part are the fundamentals. But when you are emotionally attached, then that's when you get the dad part out of being the parent. And so when I can have a relationship versus just knowing who my father is, you know, that's a different type of balance. So I just watched the Red Table Talk and Jada Pinkett Smith interviewed Will. And I got to tell you, man, I can relate on so many levels after that conversation. I can relate to Will. I can relate to Jada. I understood his point of view in terms of why he disciplined the way that he did, because that's the way he was disciplined with, you know, and he did it without being physical. You know, kudos to him for that, because I am an advocate parent that, yeah, I've spanked my kids because, you know, inherently that's what I know. But Kirk and I have come to a conscious understanding that there is a different way to handle disciplining your children. You don't have to physically harm them, especially if you know that child, to get them to understand and to do what they're asked to do. And so, but he did it on the strength of knowing that he didn't like being beat on. And he wasn't the kind of kid that he felt needed to be beaten in order to get things done, or in order to have, you know, get his father didn't have to do that to get him to do what he said to do. And so, you know, but that's a parenting style that, you know, Black culture comes from. We whoop our kids. And so, but what we don't understand is maybe that does change you. Maybe you stay on task because of those things. But some people are scarred by some of that. And yeah, I look pretty on the outside because you made sure that I did what you told me to do. But I'm dying inside. And so there has to be that balance in parenting. And I appreciate that he was open enough to just say he don't do that. And he didn't do it because he didn't like having it done to him. And I think Kirk and I have kind of gotten to that also we've had this conversation about, you know, that's, you know, in that agreement and that partnership about how we're going to treat our babies. And so, but one key thing that I took away from this episode were, there were a few things. One, he talked about the gardener and the seed concept, whereas, you know, you the gardener plants the seeds, but the seed is already exactly what God created it to be. And the gardener can't change that. So as a parent, you have to accept that child for who that child is. The same way we have to accept our men for who they are. Let that resonate. Every man that you have sex with is not a father. Every man that you cohabitate with, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, that you choose to shack up with, keep it real, is not going to be a good parent. And a lot of times, we already know that going into the relationship. You know everything you need to know about that brother before you, before you invite that person into your space. Just about. Just based on, how he carries himself, who he's hanging around, whether or not he got baby mamas, whether or not he already got kids, whether or not, he's had a few divorces, whether or not, there are so many cues that we ignore. And then we want to fit that person into this idea of being a parent. And they've already shown you that's not who they are. So then you continue and repeat this cycle of, butchered parenting, whether that ends up in that person not being in that child's life or that child not benefiting from that person being in their life. So we have to start using our thought processes. And this goes for men choosing women, on the same plane, but this is about fathers. So I'm focusing on that. We have to understand that these are the men that they are. And you're going to either have to roll with that and get what you get, or you're going to have to be better about your choices. That's just the way it is. And again, he made it clear, and I am going to make it clear before I move on into any of these statements. This is not a pass. Brothers, you still have to, if you are a father or if you have a child, you still need to step up and handle your responsibility. No doubt about it. Okay. So let's just make that clear. However, as a Black culture, we have several roadblocks that we have inherited that systemically, a lot of us can't get past in order to understand what that even means to be a good father or to be a good parent. Will Smith basically cleared it up by saying fatherhood has been historically assaulted and there are extreme systemic hurdles. And the attempts to dismantle our fathers is real. Our men, that shit's real. And so, give it a scenario. Okay, you're in a relationship with someone and this man goes out and he deals with everything that gets shot his way in the day in the life of a Black man in America. Harassed by the police, perhaps beaten by the police, perhaps thrown in jail, perhaps losing their job. Or just being verbally abused by their supervisor and them being having to withhold all that in so they don't lose their job, or not being able to get a job. We could write the list out, and it could be a mile long. And so then that man has to come back home to you and that child that you guys got together. And, so you have a whole lot of stuff going on from a man's perspective that we would never really truly understand. So, fatherhood in itself and I'm just touching on a few things. This ain't everything. But fatherhood in and of itself, when you have all of this stuff up against you, I can't imagine. Some people can survive it. Kudos to those who can. But I'm praying for my brothers that can't. Okay? Those scars are real. That trauma is real. And it runs deep. Right? So I'm praying for those that can't. I'm praying for those who have met the short end of the deal when it comes to being a parent. I pray for the children who have suffered because of it. But we all have to come to an understanding that, you know, this happens because this is the plan for it to happen. And we have to figure a way out of it. And they shouldn't have to figure a way out of it by themselves. You know, this goes back to us having a village. So, you know, if you guys are brothers out here who are watching your brothers suffer and not have these positive, experiences in their life, if you could be that beacon of light, I challenge you to do that. Because women, we can't do that. We've been doing it. Okay. You know, that's what we do. We hold our men down. Some of us hold our men down. Some of y'all can be poison to our men. Let's keep that real. Okay. Some of y'all already know the deal before you had a baby, and you had a baby and it put the price tag on the baby, and now the brother's back in the system. You see, the same system that killed George Floyd, the same system that killed Mike Brown, the same system that killed Eric Garner. That's the same system that y'all running downtown to get your check for a baby by a brother who made it clear that wasn't what he wanted. You know, as a woman, that little piece of something we got between our legs and our minds, we are in total control. We gonna have the baby if we want it, or we not gonna have the baby if we don't want it. That's totally up to us. It's our choice. These men do not have that choice over us. We say. You know what I'm saying? And there are brothers who, on the flip side, I've learned by following this lady on Instagram, who she's like a motivational person. Ajna. I'm not certain that I'm saying her name correctly, Queen. Please forgive me. But she's on Instagram, _AJNA. And I guess she has kind of been being a counselor, if you will, or somebody that, you know, she's helped to counsel other people. And she said, you'd be surprised how many men are in pain or who are hurting behind the fact that their lady had an abortion. And the man wanted the baby, but the woman didn't. I never thought about it, really. Okay? So you have to think on a partnership level when you bring in that life into the world. And just the same way men got to take responsibility, women, you do too. You didn't have to have unprotected sex just because he wanted to. Or maybe you wanted to. Or you could have been on birth control. Either way, you are 50% part responsible for the decision of having that baby. And then after the baby is born, you are 75% responsible for raising that baby. Why? Because you have all the cards. You're the woman. You're the mother of that child. If he don't dance to your music, you know how we can be. Out of our own pain, we react. But then it negatively impacts that relationship that we could actually allow, between that father and that child, if we don't put up a number of roadblocks to make it happen. Again, referring back to my initial statement before y'all start crying and getting your panties in a bunch, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be responsible for their responsibilities. We get that. However, we also have a responsibility just like they do. You know, that kid didn't ask to be here. And that kid needs their father. Whether he's broke, whether he's, you know, it don't matter what it is. If that person is willing to be there, let him be there. That's what being a father is truly all about. It's not about none of that other monetary crap. That will come. Y'all can iron that out. But let that baby have that relationship with that person, because that's going to help to stop that curse and that cycle of fatherless children. It's an ugly, wicked, systemic issue, right? Because most of our men are out here, they didn't have their daddies. And some of you women who are getting in these relationships who got daddy issues or didn't have their daddy in their lives, don't value that opportunity. You don't realize you don't, but you don't, because you don't know it. So we all have to collectively come together and hold each other up. And that's something, you know, a point that he also made in the conversation was, you know, a mother has to make room for fathers. Because again, at the end of the day, if you have that baby, you hold the cards. You're in control. Okay, Kirk and I are in a partnership, so I don't necessarily compare my situation to no one else's. I've never had to be a single mother, and I thank God for that. I don't understand that thought process, but I was raised by a single parent, so I've been there, right? But I'm not going to compare, you know, our situation in that way. But I tell you what, if it's not going to be him and I in the same under the same roof, then my babies. They going with me, period. So even knowing that, I'm in control. I say what goes with me and my children. Now, am I going to make it difficult and add salt to the wound and put up all of these roadblocks to keep them from having a relationship with their daddy because I'm bitter? You know, them the women that I call bitter Betties. Right? Then the next thing you know, you got a deadbeat daddy song playing in your CD on your playlist. And that's now your anthem. When you maybe had an opportunity to sever all of that. Yeah, you can be pissed off. You ain't got to like him. And he probably ain't shit. But that's still your baby's father. You chose him. You chose to have that baby with that person. And if he is trying to be in that baby's life and you don't allow it, you know, some fathers don't realize that they have rights. They scared to go in the city county building. Why? Because that means going to jail, period. How many houses they've been sitting in and watched it get ran up in over child support warrants, no knock warrants for child support, shit like that. So when they don't have like legal representation, if they haven't had appropriate counseling, if they don't understand that process, you're probably going to get, you know, the negative end result of that person being or fighting for that child to be in that child's life. That's just the science. Is it right? No, but that's what it is. And we got to be ahead of the game, ladies, with having these kids with fathers who we saw it coming. You don't want to believe it, but you saw it coming. But you weren't thinking with your mind. You were leading into a situation without thinking. Right? Because a lot of us do that. We get into situations and we didn't think twice about what my future is going to look like with this person. None of us have done that. Very few. And if there are people that have done that, you know, somewhere along the line, that was a learned behavior. Somebody had their back and had that conversation with them. And so now those children in their lives understand what the situation is, whether their father is around or not. That still helps to mold and make that baby that much more better. But I can guarantee you that also opens up the opportunity for a father to be in a kid's life. He also made the statement that, quote, I'm quoting Will Smith, "I can't father if you don't make room for me. You can't make room for me if I'm perfect. So in other words, he's asking that you make room. Okay, the relationship is over, but you got to make room for me to still be around, right? That means don't put restraining orders. Don't, you know, disapprove of that child calling they daddy because you mad. You know, don't, you know, get mad because he's not the PTA dad you've always expected that he would be. That ain't the man he is. You're going to have to allow him to be there, have, you know, because you want that baby to have a father. That's the ultimate goal. And if that's what you want, you're going to have to allow him to be that with all his imperfections in tow. That's just what it's going to take. He ain't going to be perfect. He wasn't perfect when you slept with him. He wasn't perfect before you slept with him and you knew he wasn't. See, you can't decide that this is the way it's going to be and this is the idea that I have as this, you know, that I'm going to make you be the father or I want you to be the father I want you to be for my kid. How does that even sound? You know, that brother has, you need to give that brother opportunity to be the man that he is and be the father that he's going to be. Because you need your children to have their daddy around. Now y'all can come to some agreements and have conversations, but don't block that baby's blessing because you're bitter or because you guys don't get along or because, you know, you consider him not to be a good husband. He probably wasn't. But what does that have to do with him being a father? Nothing. Just because he ain't feeling you or you ain't feeling him has nothing to do with that baby. Nothing. So, you know, he also went on to say, motherhood is the successful way to fatherhood because it is a partnership. And hands down, we are in the driver's seat when it comes to our children. Right? Sometimes it's not going to be the best situation and it's not perfect. And this is not a cookie cutter solution to all issues between mothers and fathers and raising their children. Please understand and hear that because that's not what I'm offering. But there are people out here who this will serve and who this should serve. And you know who you are. And some of y'all know folks that need to hear this. Okay. And just because it's not a cookie cutter to everything doesn't mean it's not relevant and doesn't mean it's not important. Now, then he went ahead and said, Jada is the one that said that it's a partnership. And, you know, as a mother of that kid, you got to value fatherhood. How many of y'all can actually say that you had a father in your life who was absolutely perfect? Remove the love for your daddy out the way. Look at that brother as a man. Was he perfect? I can guarantee you the answer is no. Because I'm going to tell you, my relationship with my father has not been smooth. My father was in my life on weekends and through phone calls. He didn't make 1,000% effort to truly be involved in my life because he doesn't know how to do that. But thank God I get to call my daddy and wish him a happy 69th birthday. Thank God I get to call my daddy when I don't feel 100% myself. And he give me the words of encouragement that I need. Thank God my mama didn't keep me from having that. Even though he wouldn't come out of his room for years. Even though he wouldn't pay his child support up until he would pay it. But he didn't want to not put her married name on there. You know, just, you know, psychological crazy crap because they weren't together. You know, so I kudos to my mother for that because I needed to know who my father is. And all his crazy shit, he's still my daddy. So bitter Betty's, chill. Because that baby is better off at least having that opportunity to have their dad around. But you design the blueprint day one, whether you accept that or not. And you got the law on your side, unfortunately. Why? Because their ultimate goal in terms of the law is to keep their prisons running. So when you criminalize people for not being the person you want them to be when they weren't that person in the begin with and you knew it, okay? then you're going to put them into a system that could ultimately criminalize them, hinder them with no driver's license, hinder them with not being able to financially survive. I think my brother-in-law said he get his check. He make $1,200 to $1,500 every time he get paid, but shit, he take home $200 to $300 because of child support or something crazy like that. Which, granted, he is financially responsible for his children. That's not the point. But the point of the matter is, hell, suppose if he had a whole nother household he was supposed to be maintaining. What he supposed to do? Be homeless? That's what you want? You got that much malice in your heart that you willing to keep that nigga down? You should hate the system more than you hate him. Luckily, he's willing to go to work and deal with that shit. Because another brother might say, screw this. I can get it off the block, or I can get it some other way. But it's too late for that, because now you're in the system. And here come them no-knock warrants. Here come the kick door. You understand what I'm saying? So we all have to collectively become a village again and stop tearing each other down, especially our men, especially the men that want to be in our babies' lives, whether they're in a relationship with us or not. We have to start valuing one another a little bit more. And brothers, y'all got to step y'all game up. Okay? If you don't want no kids, strap up. You know, you don't have to lay up with every broad that gives it to you. Be selective in your choice with who you have sex with and who you have children with. Same with these women. We all have to come together as a culture and culturally dismantle the curse so that we can continue to have happy Father's Day. That's the best way that it's going to work out. Right? And so I appreciate when I have, places like Red Table Talk and stuff to reference, because it's hard to... it's hard to have, you know, conversations with people that will relate to that thought process. You know what I'm saying? Because there's too many people that are out here hurt. And hurt people hurt people. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of these brothers get ran up. It ain't because they ain't good niggas or they ain't good dudes or they ain't good fathers. It's because y'all bitter. Your feelings is hurt. He cheated. Okay. He was probably cheating when he got with you. Right? I was looking at a video earlier today. Lord help me. But this sister is hanging on to a moving truck. And I mean, the brother was rolling because the wind was blowing. She was standing on the outside of the passenger door, probably standing on like the little step up to get into the truck, with her arm folded onto the inside of the door, holding onto the door handle. And telling him, I ain't going nowhere. And I'm thinking to myself, is she serious? If you don't let that fool go, you get ready to die. Shit. So, I don't know. I think it's just the whole vibe where we need to come together as a community, lift each other up. But today is about our fathers and about our brothers. And I'm asking our sisters to step it up. So that, you know, more of them will have more of an opportunity to be their best selves. Okay? Fathers, those that are in their child's lives, the ones that try, the ones that, you know, fight the court systems without fear, without trauma, without PTSD of walking up in the city county building, you know, the ones that pay their child support when they need to. You know, the ones that are struggling to do it, but get it done one way or another. Maybe they ain't paying in full, but you're getting something. The ones that don't have no money, but you got all the time in the world. You got all the love in the world. You got all the, you know, the lessons to provide to them. Those, that eye to eye contact, that phone call, those weekend visits. It all matters. And we appreciate you. We love you. We lift you up today, my black, beautiful kings. I ain't never even been with nobody outside of my race, okay? That's how much I love my brothers. Keep it real. So I'm going to lift y'all up every chance that I get. I'm going to fight for y'all every chance that I get. But you also got to give me a chance. You know, you also got to meet me halfway. I can't do it by myself. And on the other side of that, I need my sisters to help me do it. You know, because the system is against us all. It's designed to ruin us all. It just is. So I just, you know, want to close with the last statement that he made. And I thought this was really good because it makes so much sense, right? Where him and Jada both stated how parenting not only is a partnership, and, you know, like I said, that partnership isn't smooth, it isn't pretty, but it is what it is. But parenting is more of an art process than it is science. There are no rules. There's no handbook. Right? There's no step-by-step guide or tutorial or module. Those don't exist. So there's no scientific way to do this. But it is an art form. And that you put into it with, you know, whatever you can with as much love, with as much sensitivity, with as much creativity, with as much sensibility, with as much time that it requires to create that masterpiece. And your children are the end result of that art, that creation called parenting. And so, brothers, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for being the heads of our household. Thank you for being our big brothers when we need it. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for your hustle. Thank you for providing. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for just, you know, standing up for us when we need you. Some of y'all still got to work on that, but that doesn't mean that we have to discredit or discount or forget about those that are doing it and that are trying. Happy Juneteenth Father's Day to y'all. I feel like Juneteenth should be every day. You know what I'm saying? But happy Juneteenth Father's Day to y'all. I want you to feel free in being a father. Feel free in being the best dad you can be. Feel free in being your best self. And that be okay. I love y'all. It's your girl Flo. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for your time today. Looking forward to bigger and better things. I got so many things a brewing. Baby, it's about to be on. You dig? 47 days and my king will be home. Bet that. Thank you guys. I love you. It's your girl Flo. Loving me. Loving you. Peace.